to God is what I want us to think about this evening. Thanks to God. In Psalm 143, verse 2, actually the last phrase of that, I guess you call it 143 part B of that verse. This verse tells us, in thy sight shall no man living be justified. In thy sight shall no man living be justified. That's how God sees mankind. That's pretty complimentary, isn't it? That really boosts our ego, especially when we, quite often, like to convince ourselves and others that we're pretty special, that we're something. And yet, as we look at the words of this psalm, it tells us that in His sight shall no living man be justified. What hope is there for you and me when God sees us like this? I would like us to just take a look at some thoughts from the book of Job and some other places this evening to coincide with this theme verse that in His sight shall no man living be justified. So having said that, perhaps you've got the book of Job open and you're wondering, okay, now where do we turn? Let's look at the 8th chapter and if you're familiar with the book of Job, you know that the chapters go back and forth. Sometimes Job is speaking, sometimes some of his friends, we call them friends with quotation marks. What kind of friends? You know, friends like that, who needs enemies? The way that they came and assaulted him verbally, they just continued to pour on him that you have obviously done some major sin against God. That's why you have lost everything that you own, your children, even your health. All you've got left is your wife. Obviously, you are a guilty man. And Job kept maintaining his what? His innocence. I have not done anything wrong. But that's the way these things go back and forth. In Job chapter 8, verse 6, it said, Bildad, one of those friends, said this, if thou wert pure and upright, surely now he would await for thee and make the habitation of thy righteousness prosperous. What's Job, or what is Bildad telling him? If you were really as pure as you're trying to maintain you are, God wouldn't be doing this. Obviously, you're not. You are guilty of something. Remember, we saw in our text verse, in God's eyes, we saw there that God, as He no man living shall be justified. And Bildad is just kind of saying, see, that's why things are going so bad for you. But let's see what Job says in chapter 9 and verses 1 and 2. Then Job answered and said, I know it is so of a truth, but how should man be just with God? If he will contend with him or dispute with him, he cannot answer him one of a thousand. Job responded to Bildad's claim that, you know, if you were pure and upright, he wouldn't be treating you this way. Was Bildad true? No. Bildad didn't know the story behind the story. He had come to some conclusions, and he was saying, if you were as pure as you say you are, this wouldn't be happening to you. And Job said, I know it is so of the truth, but here's my question. Before this God, who it says, in his sight shall no man living be justified, Job says, how should man be just with God? That was the concern. That was the question. And that's a question for us to consider this evening. How should we be just with God? Let's go on. Job 25. Job 25, verse 4. Job was not arguing with God. He didn't understand why God had done what he had done. But even here, as the book unfolds about a little bit more than halfway through the book, look at the fourth verse of Job 25. How then can man be justified with God, or how can he be clean that is born of a woman? Do you know the answer to that question? How can man be justified with God? Because in his sight shall no man living be justified. Do we have contradiction? No, Job is agreeing with it. He says, it's a mystery. How can man be justified with God? And that's what we're thinking about this evening as we are anticipating gathering around the Lord's table for our communion service. How can man be justified with God, or how can he be clean that is born of a woman? Let's go to Job 15. Job 15, verse 14. Here Job says, actually, this was Job. This was another one of his friends. You see in verse 1, this was Eliphaz. He said in verse 14, what is man that he should be clean? And he which is born of a woman, that he should be righteous. These were puzzling questions in the minds of these who were gathered around Job in the midst of all of his misery. And you know, the interesting thing is mankind today in the 21st century still asks that question, what is man that he should be clean, and he that is born of a woman that he should be righteous? But the sad thing of it is, mankind has come up with multitudes of answers to that question, as it were. The sky's the limit. You just listen to the teachings of some of the popular religions. Listen to the teachings of some of the popular big churches. Some of the other faiths. How shall a person be righteous before God? And almost each one comes up with an answer which comes under the umbrella of do certain works. Do certain things, you'll be justified with God. Isn't that true? Perhaps some of your friends, some of your dearest friends are caught up in false religions. Oh, they're popular. They're big religions. There are multitudes of people that worship under that roof, but they are not taught the truth of how shall a man be justified before God. Because those who sit every Sunday and listen, they hear, you do this work, you do that work, you say this prayer, you pray to that saint, and you will be justified. My question is that the truth? Of course, we know the answer to that, don't we? The just shall live by what?
Faith.
Faith. Not words. But when man tries to fill in the blanks, how shall anyone living be justified before God? Man overlooks faith. That is too easy, too simple. It's got to be more involved than that, and man comes up with his lists of this is what you do, this is what you do, and when you do this third thing, you'll be justified in the eyes of God. Let's look at Proverbs chapter 20, verse 9. Proverbs chapter 20, verse 9. If the answer that mankind often supplies when somebody sits down and says, well, how can a man be justified before God? And the answers are given. Do this work, do that work, do this work, do that work, and everything will be okay. They need to take a good look at this ninth verse of Proverbs 20. Who can say, I have made my heart clean? I am pure from my sin. How many of you have ever met anybody that could say that? We can't, can we? And we go back to that dilemma, in his sight shall no man living be justified. You see, if it's up to you and me, we're out of luck, aren't we? There is no one, I don't care how religious they are, how often they attend their church or their synagogue, or their cathedral, whatever it may be, the question is, who can say, I've made my heart pure or clean, I am pure from my sin? We are all as guilty as can be. Because that's not how we do it, by ourselves. In the book of Ecclesiastes, Psalms, Proverbs, Ecclesiastes, chapter 7 and verse 20. In answer to the question that Solomon asked, who can say, I've made my heart clean, I'm pure from my sin? Solomon answers in Ecclesiastes 7, verse 20, there is not a just man upon earth that doeth good and sinneth not. As much as I would like to give us credit, as much as I would like to be able to just say, well, you know, here's how we do it. Here's how we take care of our sin on our own here. No one. In Psalm 130, verse 3, the psalmist kind of sums it all up for us. If you, Lord, should mark or count sins or iniquities, O Lord, who shall stay? We're all guilty, aren't we? The bottom line is, we have looked at a number of verses here this evening, and we don't have any solution to our opening verse, which said, in God's sight shall no man living be justified. Aren't you glad the story doesn't end there? Because we have looked at some suggestions, we have looked at some admissions, we have looked at some plain statements showing that you and I, we can't do anything about our sin and our iniquity. I don't care how hard we try, it's not up to mankind, is it? How thankful I am that the loving Heavenly Father did not just leave mankind in that predicament. But He did. And in 1 John 4:14, John said, and we have seen and do testify that the Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. Is that good news, or is that good news? The Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world, because as God looks down on the world, on its own, in God's sight, shall no man living be justified. But God did not leave us that way. He sent the Son to be our Savior. Probably the most familiar, most quoted verse addresses that very thing that the Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. In John 3:16, let's say it. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should
should not perish, but have everlasting life.
The dilemma that I posed in our opening verse in Psalm 143, in thy sight shall no man living be justified. The good news is that was no surprise to our Heavenly Father. He knew our condition, didn't he? And our Heavenly Father knew there was not anything that anybody could do about it. And the only way the world could be saved is if the Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. Because we did not have it in ourselves. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, Paul wrote this, in verses 19 through 21. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, 19 through 21. To wit, or that is to say, that God was in Christ. Get this next phrase. Reconciling the world unto himself. This world that God looked upon, and there was no living person justified in his sight, but through his Son, he reconciled the world unto himself, not imputing or reckoning their trespasses unto them, as guilty as we were, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Paul is speaking as a servant of the Lord. And he says, now then, we are ambassadors for Christ. As though God did beseech you by us, we pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God. There is your opportunity to be justified in this. For he hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. And as we think of what God has done for you and me in his Son, we come to this service where we can do this remarkable thing in his body and in his blood. And we can do it in remembrance with words of thankfulness and gratitude that thank you, Father, that you did not leave us like we were. Is that good or is that good?